Welcome to Mysteries of the Mind. You're listening to me, your host, Sarah Soderlund, and that intro song by my beautiful husband, Festacuffs, and who just recently was featured on Hit Record with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and we've been doing some really fun stuff in the studio. I hope that you will check out more of our music that we do together. But for those of you joining us right now in the realms of the Matrix, you just got done listening to The Situation Room, and I love today's topics because it brings into talking about what we're going to be talking about. This, we've been doing a series here on Mysteries of the Mind on evil. And we've been talking a lot on this week's social networking sites, both on Twitter and on Facebook, for Paranormal Sarah, about evil and altruism. And last week we talked about Abu Ghraib and how people will associate compliance with obedience, with authority, and kind of the psychology of evil. And I asked those of you listening, and for those of you joining us at intrepidradio.com live in the chat room, what your thoughts on evil really were. And Wick and Vixen, who joined us last week, said that it was related a lot to guilt. And we talked about the authority of control and obedience and how overseas or in times of war or in the recent Abu Ghraib situation, that people will do heinous things under the anonymous authority or even under just authority at all. And the Stanford Prison Experiment, which we highlighted, of Dr. Zimbardo, a big guy in psychology, a documentary just came out on July 17th, kind of reminding people of that psychology experiment on obedience done in the 60s. And it's a big deal in our lives and in today, and from what you just heard on The Situation Room with their guest speaker there, Raphael, and with Rocky and John Ward and Scotty, is they're talking about government compliance and authorities and organized crime and what is it that we do when we're feeling stifled or we're feeling oppressed. Do we break out into revolution or do people mindfully become sheeple? And what is it that keeps people obeying orders or engaging in behaviors that they might otherwise consider if they took a step back? Oh my God, I would never do that. I would never mindfully poison people, and yet here I am working for Monsanto and turning a blind eye. That I would never condone poisoning children, but yet I support, maybe I support Hillary Clinton and her, you know, financial backers. Or you don't appreciate a one world government, or you don't want us to reflect the European Union with a North American Union, and yet here we are being blindsided with media as the TPP and other very serious bills are being passed without our knowledge. But what is our knowledge? Are we being proactive? Are we being exploratory? Are we doing things like what you're doing right now, listening to radio programs that might help shift your perspective or might help introduce a seed of thought that allows you the time and energy and know-all to just say, hey, I want to learn more about that. And here on Mysteries of the Mind, it's kind of an hour for you to sit back, especially after The Situation Room where we're talking about society and politics and very serious matters, and to bring it in a little bit, kind of reel it in like a fishing line. I kind of see myself reeling that big boy in like we're here on River Monsters, right? I'm a Jeremy Wade and I'm a angler, and we're bringing it in and doing some introspection. And so for me, working in forensic psychology, evil and altruism is something that comes up quite frequently. Does this person have intent? Did this person mean to do that? What are the situationist perspectives? What are the interior motives or ulterior motives? And what are the motivations of individuals? And do we say that this person is engaged in something that could otherwise be considered a crime? Or are they acting in their own self-interest? And when we're acting in our own self-interest, is that being selfish? Well, this week on social media, on Twitter and on Facebook, at Twitter it's at Paranormal Sarah, and on Facebook it's / The Paranormal Sarah. We talked a lot about your perspectives on altruism and evil. And getting people engaged and hearing their responses, I'll be honest, was quite surprising. A lot of it came down to spirituality and inner morals and your conscience and saying, okay, you know, are you always acting kindly or are you not? Or are you someone who kind of believes in Darwinism or even Nietzsche and you firmly believe that biologically there's no way we can truly be selfless, that we are always acting in our own self-interest? And people, as they engaged in this conversation back and forth, the platform became one of spirituality and religion, which, of course, being someone who also does parapsychological research, wasn't too surprising because that's kind of where we determine our right from wrong. And it also takes us back to these roots of our, you know, within our mind, the internal psychology of right and wrong, and that there seems to be this duality. There seems to be this polar opposite. You have hot and cold and light and dark and right and wrong and angels and demons. And many people this week on social media said that when someone is acting cruelly or they're engaging in evil, that they must be influenced, they could possibly be possessed, that they are being taken over spiritually. And that kind of brings me to a guest that I wanted to bring on today. And she is someone who will be joining me this fall in October. If you're in anywhere in the United States, you do not have an excuse to miss the Paradigm Symposium, which I will be at here in Bloomington, Minnesota, Mall of America, masquerade ball, cocktail parties, and lectures you don't want to miss, with people like John Ward, Scotty, Rocky, and other amazing guests here on Intrepid, but also keynote speakers that have been featured in their area of expertise from around the world. And then a few weeks later, I'm going to be in Kansas City, Missouri, doing something a little different, and it's working at the PRS Fair, which has been going on for close to 40 some years now. And my sister and I have been doing it since the early 90s. And it allows me to kind of take one step out of the professional science community and into the metaphysical community, because so often I kind of find myself swimming in that purgatory. And so my guest today is, her name is Ms. Kat Wilder. And she is not only someone near and dear to my heart, being that we're related, but she's also been a mentor of sorts in a lot of areas of thought and kind of doing my own introspection. And whenever I have questions or when I want to kind of banter with someone or debate with someone or just explore my thoughts and get it out and get feedback, she's one of those people that I often will turn to. And she's someone who has shared with me the experiences in the paranormal and working with individuals on extreme cases that believe that they're terribly haunted. And so in discussing this series of evil and altruism, because so many of you were interested in the fact that, man, religion plays into evil and our morals and ethics are built by a church and a religion, that I thought, who better to bring on than a guest that she does Egyptian theology. So for those John Ward, Scotty Roberts fans, or those of you joining them on their Egyptian expeditions, she is kind of hailed the priestess of Sakhmet is her area of spiritual speciality. And she engages in divination and psychometry, but also she holds degrees in veterinary science and chemical engineering. So she's a woman that is of rational thought, but yet kind of reacting to the experiences that we've had growing up in a haunted house with religious families and both intuitive ancestors and kind of dealing with how it all plays out. So what we're going to do for those of you listening is we are going to take a quick break for you to get situated in your chair, fill up your coffee to the brim or refresh your brandy, and listen to a tune by me, yours truly, whichever one our producer randomly chooses to grace you with. And when we come back from the break here on Mysteries of the Mind, and bring a friend, we're going to be talking with guest Kat Wilder from Kansas City on the topic of evil and altruism as it relates to inner spirituality. So don't go anywhere. Join us here in just a few minutes back on Intrepid Radio. Yesterday.
trouble seems so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay.
Short blip of a break. It was just long enough for you to get situated in your chair, fill up your coffee, and come back to join us here on Intrepid Radio for your favorite show, Mysteries of the Mind, with me, your host, Sarah Soderlund. And we have with us now our guest, dun 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 dun, Ms. Kat Wilder out of Kansas City, Missouri. Kat, can you hear me?
I sure can, Sarah.
All right. Now, for those of you listening, you're not in another dimension. In another time. We sound very similar because we're sisters. So as I'm asking questions to Kat, sometimes people are listening, and when I've had her on previous radio shows in the past, it's hard to tell us apart. But I think she has more of a Southern Midwest accent than I do now that I've been in Minnesota for a few years. But we are going to delve right into today's topic, which is evil and altruism, but with a little bit of a twist. So of course, for those who join us on the show, they know that for me, neurolinguistics is really important. Knowing when you say what you say, when you say it, that I have an idea what you mean. So Kat, if you wouldn't mind giving us your personal definition of evil.
Oh, that is not where I thought you were going to start.
And this is not a scripted show for those of you listening.
Yeah, yeah. So throw me a curveball.
Yeah.
Well, I guess my definition of evil would be, you know, any force, entity, or energy that is meant to do harm, or that sole purpose is to do harm, or to provide negativity.
Okay.
And that's pretty pure and simple.
Okay, so when I hear you say that, you used a few words in there that kind of personified evil. Now, Webster's Dictionary says it's an immoral or malevolent, and says it's an adjective. But so many people this week on the public platform on social networking sites, when they gave me their definition of evil, it was personified. It was a noun. And so Webster's Dictionary recently has added the noun part of it to say that it is a wickedness or depravity regarded as a supernatural force. Would you say that evil is kind of a personified noun, or would you say it's more of an adjective of like a behavior?
I wouldn't classify it as either one, because I think it applies to both. I think it can exist in people and things, but it also can be applied to a supernatural force or an entity as well.
So if you're evil, Are you completely evil? Or can evil just surface in some of your actions some of the time?
Well, I think it's like anything else. I think when you describe somebody, you might say, well, they're funny and they're practical and they're this. You're not just going to say flat out, they're funny and that's it. I think the same thing can be said about, even if you look at some of the worst people in our society. I mean, a lot of people will bring up Hitler as an example. They'll say Hitler was evil. Well, that may be true, but he was also extremely artistic. Most people don't know that. He was a painter and a writer and all those, these other kind of things. But he was extremely artistic. He was intelligent. So I think it's just an aspect whenever you get into that property of it. It's not something that personifies the whole of you.
Okay. So, because this brings me to what I think was most interesting this week is when asking people, you know, what is evil? So many people said it was the opposite of being good or being kind. And they kind of put it on this. And of course, I'm a visual person. And so I'm always thinking of that scene in Donnie Darko with Jake Gyllenhaal as he's standing at this chalkboard. And she's going, now put your X on the line between fear and love. And he stands there and he says, this is ridiculous. That you can't just do that. It's human emotion and the human state of being is so much more complex. It's not just fear or just love. It can be a multitude of things. And he kind of has that moment, I think, which is so important in the movie. But I think it would kind of be on board with what you just said, that it's just a part. And it can be reactive. It can be something that happens within us. Some people, I believe, might think evil thoughts, but they don't engage in those behaviors. So maybe there's a sense of self-control that can harness what is evil. But would you say that everyone is capable of being evil?
Absolutely.
Just like everyone is capable of being what maybe is the opposite of evil.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
Okay. So then what I found most interesting then was that we kind of have this established in our head that there's a duality there, or a polarity, if you will, that you've got good and evil, or good and bad, or kindness and, you know, unkindness, or selflessness and selfishness. And so I had asked people to tell me what they thought of altruism. This belief, as Webster's dictionary would say, a belief in or practice of disinterested, completely selfless concern in the well-being of others. And sometimes I think that that gets mixed synonymously with empathy, which I don't agree with, but that altruism is this selflessness principle. And I don't know if I shared this on last week's show, because since I work with people who are violent, heinous criminals, I obviously don't see a lot of altruism. But when I talk about it with others and I say, do you believe that a person or that human mankind is altruistic in nature, that we are originally put on this planet to help others? Because that's kind of the birth to the authority that says, being selfish or taking life or hurting others is bad. So being kind and selfless and helping others is good. And we start to see, again, this kind of polarity and how it works with obedience and power, that we want people to be good. We want them to act with kindness and we want to reward good behavior. But yet so many authority figures, governments, organizations, corporate entities, do the opposite. And a good citizen is someone who behaves well, and a criminal is someone who behaves badly. And so we look at someone, and like you had said, maybe Adolf Hitler, which I think is a great example of evil. Was Hitler also capable of altruism? Do you think that he was?
Well, I think there's an inherent problem with the term altruism. I think a lot of people misdefine it. And I also think that whenever they put it against selfishness, I think that there's an incorrect duality there. And this is something I've had a problem with for a long time. Altruism, and when you look at it, and you have to take this separate from spirituality, okay? But if you look at it in society, altruism is the morality of putting other people's needs above your own. And if you look at that in its base definition, what that means is that someone else has the right to what is yours above what you do. In other words, some person off the street could say, I need your car more than you do. Give it to me. And you have to give it to them. That's what altruism means. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with an altruistic society. I agree with a selfish society. I agree with, if I believe that helping that person is a good thing, then I'm going to do it because that rewards me. I feel good about helping that person, even if it's completely anonymous and they don't know I did it. It's a reward to me, and therefore it helps me, it rewards me. And yeah, that's a selfish thing, but that helps me. I'm not allowing anyone else to enslave my needs or my spirit to what they think they need, which is what altruism is. And I've got some literature and quotes to kind of back me up on this if you want to see some literature about it. But that's what altruism in its hardcore meaning really is. And people have totally misstrewn it into this altruism is just doing good for others and being kind and being a good society. That's not what altruism is. Altruism is at its base core, putting other people above yourself. And it really is the basis of collectivism and a dictatorship. And sometimes even a fundamentalist of communism, where what you make doesn't belong to you, it belongs to other people. And that you aren't entitled to what you make. You aren't entitled to your own money. You aren't entitled to your own food. You have to give it to other people because their needs are greater than yours. And that's not determined by you. That's determined by someone else. And I don't agree with that.
I love that because, well, I know that growing up with you, you've always been a fan of Ayn Rand. And kind of recently on debating what with exactly what you're talking about, because I would have to agree with you probably 97%, because I think it's so much about perception. And it's so much about how you define something. But would you believe, or would you agree that religion and societal governments have kind of maybe built this belief that's led people to believe that altruism is the opposite of evil? Do you think that there is a sense of power in that? Because like you said, that it gives someone else the right to your things. And it says, if you want to be good and you want to be a good citizen and you want to be a good follower of Christ, or you want to be a good person, then what you have worked for, those are material things. And that doesn't, you know, reflect your worth. Your worth is in your actions. And so to be truly altruistic and to be selfless, you need to be completely giving. And so give it. Do you think that that kind of reflects power?
I truly believe that. And and you know, I don't know how many people know this, but Ayn Rand was originally from Russia. She lived in a communist country. And when she came over here, she predicted that this was going to happen. And she predicted that this view of altruism was going to eventually become a part of government control. And that was how they were going to manipulate people.
I love that, because just the show just before ours was talking about how the American society and government and politics, how it's really shifted quite a bit, that it's no longer a democracy. It's very much kind of this establishment that we are kind of, you know, we've given up all of our rights. We've given up everything for this hope to be a collective good. And it was kind of like a magic trick where it was like, ha ha, ha ha, you know, and the rug is pulled out from underneath you and you realize, shit, I don't have anything now. I don't even have security or privacy or anything. I don't have the right to the money that I earn, the income tax. I don't, you know, I really don't have any rights. And of course, my husband, that's one of his personal pet peeves, is he gets really frustrated with that. He's like, nobody has any rights. So when someone says, you don't have the right to say that to me, or you don't have the right to do this, he's like, we really don't have rights. You know, people need to just get over that. But what I really loved is that you have a different view of altruism. And so what I want to do is we've got 30 minutes here, and I want to take it down the spiritual path, because I think religion and politics, obviously they work hand in hand very, very, very well. And when I asked people this week, altruism, acting selflessly to help another, does this exist? Are people this way? And so many people said, oh God, yeah, I'm this way. You know, I'm a kind person, and I'm very guilty of this. And there's kind of this conflict within themselves that they get that being this way might be bad, but they say, well, Mother Teresa comes to mind, and, you know, and even here, I'll even quote Scotty, because I know that he's probably listening. This might make him nervous, but his response to altruism was that it does exist, probably more than we realize. I know many people who give of themselves selflessly. And he said that when he was a youth minister many years ago, that he would encourage kids in the youth group to have a servant's heart and to tell them that a true giver is someone who's willing to get their fingernails dirty for someone else, even when there's no spotlight, that in the quiet where no one knows, that you would be acting altruistically. And we see religions kind of implying this, but why? Why? What is it about selfless is good?
Because the people that claim, oh yes, I'm an altruist. Oh yes, I do things for people all the time. Oh yes, I give to the homeless. Oh yes, I give to these charities. They're obviously doing it because they want other people to think better of them. They're not doing it because they're doing it to be good people. Otherwise, they wouldn't tell you about it.
So do you think that a level of anonymity is important when trying to establish if someone truly is altruistic, or do you think anyone is truly altruistic?
I think anonymity is absolutely a part of it. I think a true altruist does not proclaim what they're doing.
So?
I think it is the person who hands money to a stranger in the dark, or, you know, goes to a homeless shelter and doesn't say who they are, or is the celebrity who's secretly funneling money to charities under an assumed name and doesn't tell anybody about it. I absolutely think that's the kind of person that is.
Well, so I want to associate this with the spiritual side of things. When I brought you on your introduction, I had mentioned that you and I have worked together on some pretty extreme cases, and we've talked to people that come up to us at fairs and events and conferences, and they try and tell us about the horrible, horrible hauntings that they're having in their home, or these religious entities, demonic entities, these evil entities that are in their lives and manipulating them and influencing them and causing them to act and what they believe is the opposite of altruism, that they're suddenly being overwhelmingly evil and negative and depressed, and, you know, they struggle. Do you think that evil is associated with demons to kind of create that polarity for altruism and goodness and kindness and selflessness? I mean, how do you think that they work together, or how do you think that they've come to be a duality, even though you and I would agree that they really aren't? They really aren't. For people listening, we encourage you to change your definition of these terms. But how did it come that evil is the opposite of altruism? Or being selfish is evil? Why is being selfish being evil?
See, I don't think it is. I think it's your definition of selfish. You know, it's like, to me, getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and even though I don't get up at work at 7 o'clock in the morning, I just get up and I make my husband lunch and I make him breakfast and then I go back to bed after he goes to work. That makes me feel good to know that I've done that. To me, that's a selfish act. I am doing something to help him, but it makes me feel good, and that's why I do it. That would be completely different than somebody else's idea of selfish.
Right. It's so funny because engaging people this week on Facebook and Twitter, there seems to be, and I'm hoping that for those of you listening, you kind of see this crack. You see this crack in the moral duality that religion and politics has created. That, because I agree with you, Kat, that we, and I'm a Nietzsche fan. I'm a huge Nietzsche fan. And I believe also in the biology of evolution that, in a sense, psychologically, those people who act in their own best interest and in their own well-being are evolved. They've come to terms with the guilt that is pressed upon them by society, politics, and religion to know what they need to do to better themselves and to maybe lead by example, and that is not a bad thing. And like you said, when you do things for others, you're not doing things for others to kind of gain a tally point or a medal in the eyes of God. You're doing it because it makes you feel good. But why does it make you feel good? Does it make you feel good, maybe with the example that you gave, because that's your definition of what a good wife would do? Or that you're hoping throughout the day when your husband eats his lunch and eats his dinner that's pre-made that his coworkers would say, wow, you're so lucky. I wish my wife did that. Are you trying to battle the influence of evil, of adultery, that you're trying to cover your bases for future guilt, that if something were to happen, you could say, I did everything I always could? Is it a self-defense mechanism? And so it's kind of funny when I'm talking to people about good and evil, and someone says, well, I know that I have an evil presence in my life. I know that there's a demonic entity, and it's influencing me and my family. That we kind of sit down and we have this discussion about what is good and what is evil. Do you think that outside influences can cause a person to be evil? Or is it just perspective?
You're kind of asking me, do I believe in demons?
Do you believe in demons?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
But you're someone who is a logical, rational thinker. You've gone to scientific communities like, you know, the University of Rolla. You are someone who reads Ayn Rand. You're someone who maybe doesn't recognize religion. So how can you believe in demons?
Well, because I've seen evidence that they exist. I've seen the effects that they have on people, and I've just seen too much scientific and spiritual evidence to make me not believe.
So maybe we still have a lot to learn about demons, but do you think that what religion tells us about demons is true? Are they influential hands of the devil with intentions of us to do harm to others?
Well, I think there's a little yes and no with that, depending on, you know, what scriptures you read, Old Testament, New Testament, Apocrypha, things like that. I think that they can definitely influence people. I think that they can, not necessarily verbally, but I think that they can speak to people. I think a really good analogy, and I hate to use movies because they're such fictional representations of things, but I think the movie Constantine is a really good example. When you have the demons in that movie speaking to people, and they can't see the demons, and they can't actually hear them, but they're influenced by what the demons are saying. I think that that's a really good representation of kind of what that's like. And it can happen to good people, it can happen to bad people, it can happen to weak people, it can happen to strong people. And I think some people are able to shrug it off. I think some people are a little bit more susceptible to it. I think that whenever you're physically ill or you're mentally ill or you're weakened by stress or disease or other things, I think that your natural defenses are down, and that makes you an easy target. But I think that every one of us could be spoken to or influenced at one time or another in our lives. I think that, you know, if you go by scripture, if you go by spiritual text, I mean, it says the devil is the ruler of the world. And, you know, which would imply that demons are everywhere in the world and that angels are not. Now, a lot of people will disagree with me on that, but I'm just quoting scripture here. I'm not getting into anybody's belief systems, but it would imply that demons have free roam to do whatever they want amongst people, and that God's just relying on us to be faithful and strong and to resist that. If you want to go with scripture, and you want to go with the Bible, you want to go with the written word, that's what you got to go with.
So are we this tabula rasa? Are we this blank slate when we're born, and we're only molded by influences that God hopes we're good and hopes that we act altruistically? Or is God hoping that we make the best of ourselves and that we live this life and that we experience demons and angels and that we just believe and have faith in Him? And because, I mean, when we mention scripture and when so many people, and I think the reason that religion comes into this, regardless of what you and I might believe, is that people do believe evil is personified by demonic entities, and that evil is this word that is kind of this hand of the devil. And I would have to agree. I love Constantine because when you think about, you know, lust and the seven sins, that someone who is a religious, devout religious belief, regardless of what religion it is, so many of them have the same kind of theme, that you don't want to be overly sexual, you don't want to be overly greedy, that it's kind of this, you know, everything in moderation, but that Balthazar, this demonic influence in Constantine, is played by the beautiful Gavin Rosdale, and he's well-dressed, and he's, you know, manipulating this money over his knuckles, and he, like you said, he softly whispers in the ear of a priest who is battling alcoholism as a way to cope with his inner demons, his ability to see the cruelty of the world. And he can't take it anymore. And he's weak-spirited for just a moment. And at that moment, that's when Balthazar shows up and is kind of grinning in the background as this person reaches, you know, finally has a crack and reaches for alcohol. And inevitably, without ruining the movie, he drinks himself to death. And nobody really pushed the alcohol on him. Nobody gave him the alcohol. The demon wasn't lifting a bottle and pouring it down his throat or anything like that. But it was more or less this predatory influence on a victim of the moment, that it's a situationist thing. So do you think that evil is situational? Do you think that people who believe they're being haunted or being affected by demons, that it's there all the time, and that they have to combat something influencing them all the time? Or do you think that it just shows up, you know, in those moments of weakness?
That's an interesting question. I think that things do show up in moments of weakness. But, and you already know this about me anyway, but I think that there are certain places that are just negatively affected by entities and energies that have just coded them over years and years anyway. But excluding those types of places, yeah, I think people can draw all that stuff in just like an antenna. And yeah, I think, you know, when you get depressed people, or you get families that are abusive, or maybe people that are having marital strife, or kids are having problems fitting in, or maybe, you know, there's a whole myriad of things that can cause people to feel insecure and that kind of stuff. Gosh, we know so many different issues people have to deal with every day, especially in today's society where none of us have enough money to do the things we need to do, and we're all searching for jobs and that kind of stuff. It's hard enough on everybody. But yeah, I definitely think that that draws stuff in. It just makes it easier for them to prey on us.
But do you think, because I think sometimes I feel like for individuals it might be an excuse, the devil made me do it, where it's really just a lack of willpower or a lack of personal responsibility or the lack of wanting to give an explanation that might tarnish their character. They say, you know what, I don't want to say that I'm faltering in my marriage and having sexual desires outside of my wife, but instead I went to the strip club because the devil made me do it. And the devil is my friend John.
Better answer would be I couldn't resist the negative influence.
Right. Or that, you know, I had a bad day and John wanted to go out for a beer and that's where he wanted to go, and I'm a non-confrontational person and that's where we went, but I didn't really care to look at the women anyway because I felt guilty the whole time. You know, sometimes that's harder to say than the devil made me do it.
Yeah.
Do you think that, and I know I might really anger some people here. Maybe I won't go there. Maybe we'll go there another day. I was going to kind of insert that so many atheists, or so many people, like, for example, when you're reading about Atlas Shrugged, and she talks about rejecting altruism, rejecting the self-sacrifice of moral ideal, that morals shouldn't be related to religion, and that someone who is selfish isn't, you know, the devil made me do it or being influenced by a demon, but that it might just be somebody who is acting in their own self-interest, and that selfishness actually can be a virtue if it's done in the right way. So we kind of go with, you know, ethical philosophy, and we really go down some crazy wormholes and things like that. But I find it terribly interesting that so many people do use that excuse. And I do have to say excuse, but at the same time, I agree with you. For those of you listening to Mysteries of the Mind, might gasp. Don't gasp here, people. But that demons, in a sense, do exist. Sometimes I wonder if it's a projection of evil, if it's someone who has so much self-control and yet so much negativity in their life that they want to just stab somebody, and they want to just kick a wall until they scream, and they can't stand their relationships, and they hate their job, and they quit smoking and quit drinking coffee, and they're on a tight budget, and income tax just came and took all of their tax return, and, you know, just things are happening situationally that they are holding themselves morally accountable every moment of every day, and that maybe they just crack and they don't know why they cracked when they did, and so they say it must have been a demonic entity just because of a lack of self-understanding or a lack of personal responsibility. That kind of religion plays that parental role of, it's okay, you didn't mean to do it, try better next time. But from what I've experienced in demonic entities, it's not always the criminal, evil person like Adolf Hitler that comes to mind. That person, like you said, Adolf was very artistic. He liked to draw flowers in his spare time. And he was a great husband, and he had a dog that he loved. And, you know, he wasn't someone that goes around kicking animals. And that maybe in his perspective, he felt like he was ridding the world through genocide of a culture of people that were selfish, and that he was doing this for the greater good, and that he had to take a few to save many. And some could say that's very altruistic of him, because they don't see the whole picture. But I'm interested in how evil surfaces when someone comes to you and says, "Kat, I feel like there's an evil presence in my life. Maybe it's a demon, maybe it's not. How do I combat that?" When so many people jump to, "You need to try and be altruistic or selfless," what might you say in trying to combat evil or demonic entities?
Well, the first thing I ask them is what's going on in their house as far as conflict. And then I deal with that. And if there's not any conflict and they're really just having pictures fall off the walls and things like that, then I say that maybe they need their house investigated and pursue the paranormal aspect of it. You think you got to have to kind of separate, find out what the root cause is, and then go from there. I mean, maybe they just need family counseling. And they feel so dark and empty and depressed that they think there is a demonic entity. But maybe there is something going on. Maybe, you know, furniture is being rearranged and, you know, the TV's flickering on and off, and there is something going on. I isolate what's going on first and then pursue it from there. I don't try to give solutions before I pursue what's going on.
I like that. I like that you kind of take that systematic approach of trying to organize the symptoms and then kind of work backwards, because I think that sometimes science is forced to do that. You kind of have to do that. And it helps people through the thought process of coming to terms with what they might be experiencing. Because for people this week who joined me on Facebook talking about altruism, when they said, "Oh God, yeah, Mother Teresa is the perfect example. And that I'm altruistic all the time. I'm always giving to other people all the time." And I said, "Well, that's not really what I mean. Do you believe that being altruistic in the sense that, you know, society uses it is detrimental? That maybe we need to redefine evil, and that evil may not be a bad thing. Or is evil always a bad thing and being selfish needs to be redefined?" Because for whatever reason, selfish is considered bad.
And I think
that religion is probably to blame for that. I don't know. Where do you think that comes from? Why is being selfish bad?
Like I said, I think it's just been a bastardization of the definition. I think one of Ayn Rand's best books is The Virtue of Selfishness. And luckily for most people, it's one of her shorter books. It's not 3,000 pages. It's like 100 pages. It's very easy to read. It's not in total dry language. It's very easy to understand. And once you read it, you kind of go, "Oh, this makes perfect sense to me. I totally get this." And then you kind of go, "I see now. She's not an arrogant, you know, piece of crap. She's really making a point here."
Right. Right.
But you got to read her stuff. You can't read her university stuff, because that was instigated by her student, and her student has completely warped her teachings. So anybody who's listening, don't ever, ever, ever read anything by her student. Read it from her. Don't read any of her paraphrased stuff, because that's just a bunch of junk.
Hmm.
He was not I hate to say this, but he was not intellectual enough to interpret her writings, and I find that very sad.
Well, I think that for the people who find the philosopher that fits them and fits them well, man, not everybody, because when I explain to people that I am a huge Nietzsche fan, some people just recoil and they think that, that makes me a horrible person. When other people go, okay. You know, or if I'm an Immanuel Kant fan, or if I'm, you know, whatever. With my husband being a philosophy major, we kind of talk a lot about different philosophers and what they said and maybe what they meant. Because not everyone was a George Carlin fan. But I would definitely, you know, I'm a huge George Carlin fan. That's kind of my spirituality is George Carlin in the sky. And but there's a lot of obscenity and there's a lot of selfishness and there's a lot of, you know, I don't put up with Target making things genderless, and you know, there's just a lot of non-political correctness and talking about how that changes things. But what I think is most interesting when people get offended is it's usually just by political correctness that's established by some entity that has nothing to do with them. That they might, couple themselves with a religious establishment that doesn't necessarily reflect them personally. And so I'm always kind of interested in that personal psychology of things. But anyway, like usual, our time is down to just the last 4 minutes of the show, which I just cannot believe how fast things go. And for some of the people joining us on social networking, I've had a few people ask, you know, where can they find you? Where are you at? What do you do? Just to tell us a little bit more about you. And we can always have you on future radio shows to talk about what personal experiences you've had in the demonic realm, but also maybe in the angel realm. But I guess my last question before you give us the sign off here on where people can find you, do you believe that there is a polarity of energy in the world, that demons and angels are at the opposite spectrum of one another?
I definitely think there's a good and evil polarity. I still haven't quite nailed down my feeling on angels.
Huh.
That's one of those things where my scientific mind has just not had enough proof yet to really believe one way or the other.
But yet you've experienced demonic entities.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Just never seen any proof of angels. Which I kind of hope I will someday, but I just haven't yet.
Well, I like that. I like that. And I think it's an honest response. And I think it's important for those of you listening here on Intrepid Radio. Our guest today is Ms. Kat Wilder, and she is out of Kansas City, Missouri. For those of you who are into Egyptian theology or into the metaphysical realms, you might have heard her referred to as the Philonist. So, Kat, if you could here in just a few minutes, let people know, who are you? Where can they find you? What do you do? Who have we been talking with?
Well, you're right. I am the Philonist. I am a psychometrist, which means I read energy off of things, people, places, energies, pictures, whatever. I do readings through runes, tarot cards, what have you. I also do intuitive readings. I'll be reading with Sarah at the Psychic Fair in Kansas City in October. And I have my own webpage at thephilonist.webs.com. So you can find me there, and you can sign up for my newsletter, watch my video. You can also call me at 816-944-0735, make an appointment for an online reading or an email reading. All the information about the readings is on my website, or you can check me out on Facebook at the Third Eye Lexicon. That's my page for my old radio show, and it has all my information about psychic readings and that kind of thing on it. So feel free to look me up, chit chat, all that kind of stuff. I'm in Kansas City for local readings, or I can, like I said, read online or email from anywhere in the world. So
yeah. And I do encourage anybody listening, if you're going to be in the Midwest in October, you've got to come to the PRS Psychic Fair. It's one of the best that I've ever been to, and that's worldwide of psychic metaphysical conferences. You can get everything from belly dancing belts to stones to wands to pitching sticks to divination tools to books, but also they do a really cool kind of conjugation, if you will, of psychic readers. And man, there have just been some really cool names, people that we've had a chance to work with. And of course, we'll be there doing dual readings. If you're interested in the psychic phenomenon, if you're listening to Intrepid, usually that's more rational type thinkers, I challenge you. I challenge you to get a reading by Kat Wilder and see if she doesn't change your perspective. Because, of course, that's what we're all about here on Mysteries of the Mind. So until next week, I want to thank you and thank you, Kat Wilder, for joining us today as we talked evil and altruism. So join her online. And Kat, those of you listening, I sign off. Thank you, thank you. And I'll talk to you soon.
Yesterday, trouble seems so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believed in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the woman I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over. Here to